Welcome back. Linda Cohen along with you. Did you know that over 30 million people in the United States have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD? And many don't even know it. Well, joining us this morning to help us understand this challenging disease and what can be done about it is Mr. Joseph Sorbello, Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Respiratory Therapy Education in the College of Health Professions at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Joe. Thanks for coming in today.
Very glad to be here.
So help us understand, what exactly is COPD?
Well, COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and it's actually in a number of diseases, but the most common ones are chronic bronchitis and pulmonary emphysema. And most people who have these diseases have elements of both.
So it's a combo in many cases.
Really it is, yes.
So what causes that to develop? I mean, how do people get that?
The most common cause of COPD is cigarette smoking. And I know we're going to talk about the causes of it. And, you know, the first treatment would be don't smoke. Stop smoking. That's tough. But there is an inherited form of pulmonary emphysema. And that can be treated particularly in the early stages. So I don't know if you want to talk about that now.
No, we'll talk about that a little bit, just a little bit further when we talk about treatment. But let's talk about what kinds of other risk factors there are for developing something like COPD. For example, are there workplace issues? And if you worked in a coal mine, for example, or if you worked in a certain kind of environment where there'd be gases or fumes?
Yes, any of the environmental things that produce gases and or dusts, organic dusts, of course, there are other diseases that develop. Coal miner's lung, for instance, people have probably heard of that. That's we call it a pneumoconiosis, very fancy name, but just as devastating and similar in some ways.
And how about people even who, let's say, they work in a barbecue, you know, joint or something like that, and they're always over these heavy smokers or cookers? Are they more at risk for that kind of developing that kind of disease as well?
They are, because of think of smoke, any type of smoke, as a dry aerosol, and those are. Any aerosol can be irritating to the lung, and there are many things that happen at the real small levels in the cells that cause inflammation and damage and destruction.
Mm-hmm. And so over time, they basically lose lung function.
Yeah, their air sacs where the oxygen goes in and the carbon dioxide comes out are destroyed.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know you have it? I mean, in the beginning, I introduced the fact that so many people have it, but some don't even know they have it. Is it that they know they have something going on, but they don't know they have COPD is the point?
Yeah, it creeps up on you. And, you know, if it's cigarette smoking, you know, it takes a number of years for that destruction to take place. And I think some people will, you know, scoff at it and say, well, I'm getting older, I'm just getting a little tired. But it actually is. You become a little short of breath, and you know you notice that I can't climb, you know, the stairs that I did before. There's a cough, usually cough as a primary sign, but what really sends them to the doctor is the shortness of breath, the you know difficulty breathing.
And trouble catching your breath.
Right, yeah. Even with normal activities, particularly with normal activities.
And fatigue as well, right?
Yes, so that it does resemble many other things. That could happen that are not as life-threatening, of course, than as COPD.
How do the doctors diagnose it, though? I mean, how do you determine, since it does resemble other things, how can they determine that it is COPD?
Well, the first and most important thing is a very thorough history and physical, which includes not only examination visually and doing some things physically and looking, but also taking a chest x-ray and doing what we call pulmonary function testing. And the pulmonary function testing can be quite extensive. And those in combination, you know, like I say, plus some blood tests perhaps, will give the diagnosis.
So they do this kind of lung function test where they check how much vital capacity your lungs
yes.
have. They ask you to hold your breath or whatever for a certain amount of time.
Correct. What happens really is that because of the destruction, you trap a lot of air. So when you see people walking in the streets they have kind of what we call a barrel chest, and they're pursed lip breathing, and they're walking very slowly usually, that usually is a sign that they have some type of obstruction, and that's where the obstruction comes in the definition. They can't get the air out, and their lungs are filled more. So when they do the pulmonary function test, you see a lot of trapped air.
So is this a diagnosis that is basically a death sentence? I mean, what kinds of treatments, what do you do if you have COPD?
It doesn't have to be a death sentence. Of course, we're all going to die of something. And, you know, the push for many years now has been to live a healthy lifestyle. The buzz phrase is health promotion, disease prevention. And the federal government has done quite a bit to give out information. And we do have, you know, treatments that are there. But the lifestyle change would be, first, I would say go to a specialist. And that would be a pulmonologist, someone who specializes in the care of lung disease for people. And if you're suspecting that you have that, I would strongly recommend, and we have some wonderful pulmonologists in the Central New York area, and you know, we work with them very closely. And they would probably recommend that anyone with COPD or is developing it would go to a pulmonary rehab program. And we do have a fantastic program, actually, through Franciscan Management Services has one right out on Taft Road.
Mm-hmm. And the kinds of things that you offer people, I mean, basically, what do you do? Besides encouraging mm-hmm. them to live a healthier life, to eat well, to get enough sleep, to exercise, I mean, what kind of exercise, for example, can someone with COPD do?
Well, walking is one of the best things that can be done, but strengthening exercises, lifting, you know, smaller weights, higher repetitions, those are all the things that the physicians and the respiratory therapists and the nurses will be teaching those. But, you know, one other thing that anyone with a chronic disease pretty much needs their flu shot every year and their pneumonia vaccine as well. So that's part of the overall health care. So, and it's flu season now, so they should get their flu shot.
Always a good idea.
Yes.
Always a very important idea. So tell me about the kinds of actual specific treatments, though. There are steroids mm-hmm. that are given.
There are inhaled steroids that are given. They can be given by mouth, but usually they're inhaled. Those keep keeps the inflammation down in the airways. And, you know, it's like breathing through a straw. If you breathe through a smaller straw, you'll get an idea of what it's like. And then you breathe through a larger one, and it's better. So we have also drugs called bronchodilators. Those drugs relax the muscles in the airways and allow the airways to be bigger. And so, therefore, it's easier to breathe.
And they have these newer anti-inflammatory drugs like Singulair, those kinds of things.
Yes,
are those also
work,
helpful?
They work a little bit differently, and they can be helpful. So they do take a long time to start their action, so people should be patient when they take those types of medications. And everyone's different. Singulair, for instance, may not. It's called an anti-leukotriene. It may not work in some people. So, you know, you just have to find out what works for you and be patient and work with your physician.
But it sounds to me like there is hope in the sense that if you have smoked all these years, clearly you have to stop smoking.
Yes.
That's the first thing. But or if you've been exposed in some workplace or you have some genetic predisposition, as mm-hmm. you said before. The point, though, is there are treatments and there is an ongoing program that can help your lifestyle.
Yes.
You can live a fairly
yes.
normal
most,
lifestyle.
Most people with COPD have what we call a mild form. And only about 10 or 15% really have the severe form that we see. You know, we do have patients at home. Respiratory therapists, for instance, see patients at home. And, you know, we try to keep them at home because that's the place you want to be. Do your daily activities. You feel better. And, you know, it's practically to keep the healthcare costs down mm-hmm. as well. And so there are a number of things that can be done. It is not, you know, something that can be cured, but we can slow down the progression of the disease quite a bit.
So are there programs in our community, you've mentioned a couple of specific programs, but others that people can help, that can get help for people with COPD?
Well, there was some support groups that were sponsored through the American Lung Association, but the only lung association that exists now is at the state level. So really, you know, with the economy, everything has been cut back. So, the pulmonary rehab program really you know, that I mentioned before through mm-hmm. Franciscan, and you know, is a primary thing. But those things that are offered through the pulmonologist, for instance, because we often find that people with COPD also have such disorders as sleep disorders, either because of their COPD or from separately. So that's why it's important to see someone who specializes in those things so we can pick up on that. And then there are some lifestyle changes that can take place. But the resources, you know, there's a lot of websites that are very helpful.
So very briefly, and we can link to some of those, but mm-hmm. where can somebody get the best information?
Well, as I did my research, I found that probably the most comprehensive is through the National Institutes of Health. So if you go to their website, and I'm not sure if we can provide that on...
We can link to it on our website.
It's called Medline Plus. Mm-hmm. And if you put in my search, favorite search engine is Google. Mm-hmm. So if you type in Medline, then you'll go there.
That sounds great. Well, thanks so much for coming in. Excuse me today. My guest has been Mr. Joseph Sorbello, Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Respiratory Therapy Education in the College of Health Professions at Upstate Medical University. A lot of very important information, and I'm sure you've reached a lot of people with it. We have to take a short break. We'll be right back, so stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.